Hi, my name is Florian Lauriton, and you might know me from, well, being here before on the Modules Unraveled podcast talking about DrupalCon. This is episode 32 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host. He finally made it out of the country this summer. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I'm talking with Florian Lauriton. Florian is a co-founder of Wunderkraut and the community lead for DrupalCon Munich. So, Florian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Great to be here again.
Yeah, it's fun. Do you want to go ahead and start out by telling us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Sure. So, well, where I'm from geographically, I've been traveling a little bit around. I'm originally from Switzerland, and I've lived for a couple of years in the U.S., and I've now been living in Germany for 3 years. Since I got here, I've been pretty active in the Drupal community. We put the first Drupal Dev Days together here, and and I'm keeping on being active in this community, and now I'm organizing. I'm helping organize DrupalCon Munich, which is going to be just in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I don't remember if we talked about this last time, but how did you get started with Drupal?
It's been quite a few years ago now, but I think that was in 2005. And at the time I was working on some web development projects where I was writing PHP from scratch. And I thought there must be a better way to do this. And that's pretty much how I got onto Drupal. And it started from that. And now I've been working with Drupal professionally for a couple of years. So I haven't looked back on that yet.
Cool. So what's something recent you've been working on?
Actually, there's quite a few projects that I've been working on, just because the role that I generally have on a project is that I help other people pretty much just build their Drupal projects correctly, and I help them solve the difficult things. So the advantage is that I get to work on all the fun stuff. The disadvantage is that I get all the hard stuff. But it's a nice set of activities. One of the things that we've been focusing on specifically at Wunderkraut over the past couple months is really working on improving the author and the editor experience, especially for websites that require authors to create complex site structures without having to write code, so really working on a very powerful set of tools to build complex structures. And it's been really great because we're doing that. We've been able to really get involved in the community and work with people at other companies who are doing some similar projects. So we've had some great conversation about this with the people at Node1, also some people at Acquia. So we can really see that this is a movement that is not only us, but there's a lot of people in the community that are involved in this. And it's great to be part of that movement.
So are you talking about kind of like the node editing and creating like with the Spark distribution,
exactly,
things like that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that looks really exciting. And I'm definitely keeping my eye on that stuff. Well, let's go ahead and jump into DrupalCon. I wanted to kind of start out because before I went to DrupalCon Denver, I really didn't have any idea what to expect out of a DrupalCon. So for anybody that might be listening who is in that same boat and hasn't been to a DrupalCon, can you kind of give us an overview of what to expect at a DrupalCon?
Well, I'm going to do my best because this is a very difficult experience to summarize. Mm-hmm. I think that for most people, the first DrupalCon is kind of an overwhelming experience. There's a lot of things happening at the same time, so a lot of very good sessions. It's the official worldwide conference for everything related to Drupal. So this is a 1 week of pure knowledge transfer. This is really fantastic. There's also the possibility to work on very specific things and to network with people. The bird of a feather sessions are really great for that. You get to work in small groups on very specific interests. So this is really great to get in touch with people who do exactly the same thing that you do. There's also, a lot of business going on. There's the day stage, there's the sponsor booths. It's really a place where a lot of business gets done and also where a lot of new connections are done. So it's not uncommon for people to get hired at DrupalCon or to meet with potential clients or potential partners. So there's really a lot of things happening there. There's the trainings too, which are particularly interesting. And of course, the whole community development process. This is where a lot of decisions are made regarding the future of Drupal. There's the core conversations where these discussions are a little bit more structured. And I think that this is really a super productive week from all possible aspects. If you go to DrupalCon, you will not be able to see everything, and you will be frustrated mm-hmm. that you cannot see everything. But you will definitely get something that is possibly the best that you can get out of it. And so I think that it's a unique conference in that it really provides a unique experience for everyone who attends.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to throw in a quick caveat. Or not caveat, but story, I guess. When I went, I experienced the same thing. I tried to go to all of the sessions I could at first. And the last couple of days, I realized everything was being recorded. And so I ended up spending time down in the vendor area and more networking with people. And that actually turned out to be one of the best things I've ever done, because people who've listened to this podcast for a while know that in May, I just quit my teaching job to do Drupal full time, and it wouldn't have been possible without people like Tim Sharp that I met, you know, down just chatting. And so that's definitely something that people should be aware of as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely spend a lot of time outside of sessions. This is also some time that is very well spent.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about DrupalCon Munich in specific, and we'll start up with some easy questions. When is it?
So DrupalCon Munich is I'm not sure exactly what week is it. It is, but it's from the 20th to the 24th. So on the 20th, there's 1 day of training. There's also the CXO meeting that's happening on that day. And the conference itself really starts on the 21st. It's opened. There's some very amusing opening session that Robert and Jem always put together. So we're very much looking forward to that. Right after that, we have the keynote from Dries. And so we have 3 days of conferences like that. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And on Friday, we have a code sprint. A contribution sprint. And a lot of people think that this Friday is really for people who are heavily involved into Drupal, who have been there for years and who know everything about it. But it's really an opportunity for people to get involved in that community, and for the people who are already heavily involved, it's the possibility to work with other people. So I would really underline the fact that Friday, the code sprint, the contribution sprint on Friday is really for everybody. I've heard from many people who went to their first DrupalCon and just participated in the code sprint that they said it was the best day of the conference. So I would really encourage everybody to participate there. And yeah, that's pretty much it. There's also some smaller activities for dedicated groups happening before and after the conference. But the official part is really from Monday to Friday.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to also mention the contribution sprint in Denver. I went to that, and I was really impressed with the way that they were able to help the new Drupal developers, people like me who hadn't actually done anything with Drupal Core, able to get us up and running. If you don't know how to have how to run a local development environment on your computer, they show you how to do that, and they just walk you through everything and give you really easy steps to take so that you can start helping out with Drupal Core. So yeah, I definitely recommend that as well. Okay, so how about where is it?
Okay, so the conference venue is the Westin Grand München. It's one pretty big hotel, and it's what's interesting is that the hotel was built for the 1972 Olympic Games. It's been renovated since then, so it's a great hotel, very very nice location, and we are also taking over the conference spaces from the hotel that is right across the street, the Arabella Sheraton. But it's really a quick walking distance. I think it might take 30 seconds to cross the street. I think that the conference spaces will be spread between these two hotels, and we are also going to have there's a lot of people staying at these hotels, but both are sold out for the week. Hmm. So if you still don't have a hotel room, there's a lot of hotels in Munich. One thing that I would recommend is finding a place that has a good subway or tram connection to the venue. It's going to make your life a lot easier. The Westin Grand is right next to a subway stop on the line U4. So if you're looking for hotels near the U4, you should be in a good location. And also on the tram lines 16 and 18. If you're close to those, you should have a pretty easy commute to the conference.
Cool, that's good to know. Okay, so a little more about the conference. Do you know? Well, of course you know, but why don't you say who the keynote speakers are and a little bit about what they're talking about?
Yeah. So on the first day, we have the traditional State of Drupal from Dries. Dries Buitert, the creator of Drupal. One thing that we are going to do that is slightly different from the way that it's been done in the past, it's not going to be a typical presentation. It's going to be an interview. And so it's going to be much more interactive. And I think that this is going to be a nice, refreshing way to look at the state of Drupal. I think that Dries has done this kind of keynote at the Bay Area Drupal Camp. I heard that it was very successful, and so that's why they wanted to do something like that again. I'm excited to see how that's going to work out. On the second day, the second keynote speaker is Anke Domscheit-Berg. She's an expert on open government and open data. But she's not going to be giving a technical presentation about, APIs and web services and all of those things. She's really a person who's very involved in the practical aspects of things. So actually getting governments to open up their data. She's also been very much involved in politics and has been making many appearances in the media throughout the entire Germany. So I think that it's really a big honor to have her at DrupalCon. For those who have not heard about her, I would definitely look up some more information. She's really quite a personality. And also on the Thursday, we're going to have a more technical presentation from Fabien Potencier. Fabien Potencier is the creator of Symfony, the PHP Symfony framework. So if you haven't heard, Drupal 8 will be integrating some Symfony components. So this is a great step towards standardization of Drupal with respect to other PHP frameworks. So it should make it so that PHP, well, no, not PHP, that Drupal is much more stable and also much more standard environment, so fewer Drupalisms. And so this is very exciting. And I've seen Fabien Potencier talk in Denver, and he's really a fantastic speaker, someone who really knows the technical aspects, but who can communicate them well. So this is really something that, well, I'm also very excited about this speech. So I think that we really have some fantastic keynote speakers.
Cool. Okay, so what different tracks are available at the conference?
For the tracks, we have been pretty conservative. I think, there's some standard tracks that you always find. There's a coding and development community, front-end, business, site building. There's one more that we added, which has not been there in the past, is the DevOps track. And this is something that has been kind of, well, not really overlooked, because the DevOps sessions have been there before. They were just spread through site building and coding, sometimes also to a certain extent to business. And I think it's great to have a dedicated track for pretty much, all the things that affect Drupal technically, but are not Drupal themselves. So everything regarding hosting, regarding deployment, regarding those processes. So I think that it's great that we have a dedicated space for these sessions. And the response has been very positive to having a dedicated track for this. There's also two more tracks which are a little bit different. One of them is the Core Conversations track, which is entirely focused on Drupal 8, or generally the next version of Drupal. So it's really there that that all the upcoming cool stuff is being discussed, is being presented. So if you want to make sure that you're going to be on top of things when Drupal 8 comes out, I would definitely recommend going to some Core Conversation sessions. And there's also the day stage. The day stage is dedicated to presentation from sponsors. This is the only track where commercial presentations are allowed, but it also means that if you are interested in hosting offers from different companies on specific topics where you really want to know what different companies and service providers have to offer, this can be of great value.
Okay. Are there any featured sessions or anything that you'd like to point out that you think look cool?
There's a lot of very exciting sessions. I think there's too many to mention, but one thing that I'm very excited about is that we got a good response to the general theme of the conference, which is open up, connecting systems and people. So really working outside of Drupal, so not focusing on the Drupal-specific things. And I think it's really great that we have a lot of sessions about integrating Drupal with Backbone JS, about working with other communities. We have one of the founders of Joomla who's going to come to talk about community. So talking about really reaching out to other communities and to learn from each other, I think that we have really done a fantastic job. And I think that the response has been great.
Okay. What about the pre-conference trainings? Do you know what trainings are available or how much they cost?
I couldn't tell you offhand what trainings are available. I think there's on the website. It's munich2012.drupal.org/program/training. We'll probably put the list well, the link on the podcast page. But yeah, they're very good trainings, generally from the experts. So it's they're very well. It's probably the best value that you would get for that price for a Drupal training. The cost is 400 euros for attendees, and there's also the possibility to book a training without participating in the conference for 500 euros. But yeah, I think that's what it costs. I think that there's still a good amount of tickets available. I'm not sure exactly when the last day to register is. But yeah, everything is available on the website. Just go there.
Speaking of last day to register, when do ticket sales close for DrupalCon Munich?
So the online ticket sales close on August 17th. So that's the Friday before the conference. However, I think that the tickets are going to sell out before that. We've been selling on average about 100 tickets a day. A day, 100 tickets a week.
Okay.
But the ticket sales have been, they're not linear. So we know that at the end, there's a lot of people trying to buy them. And we know that, it's pretty much guaranteed that we are going to sell out before August 17th. We just passed the date where regular ticket prices are sold. So now it's the late registration ticket prices, but there's still the possibility to buy some. I think we have about 250 tickets left now, but by the time this podcast gets published, I think that number might be much lower, if not at zero. Hmm. So, we'll see.
Okay. So next we had on here kind of some things that have been going on since the last time I had you on this show. And we just talked about ticket sales a little bit. What about session proposals? What kind of sessions have been proposed?
I think that session proposals went pretty much the same way that they did in the past. A few session proposals at the beginning, and then it's really an exponential growth until the deadline. Of course, some people complain that they didn't know the deadline was coming. And we've communicated this on multiple channels, but it's really something that happens every year. So I think that this is one thing that I would recommend to anybody who really wants to give a DrupalCon presentation is to think about it early and not wait until the last minute, because that's what everybody does. I think the session proposals, we were a little bit worried of not having enough in the beginning, and then in the end, which it turned out that we had plenty. But most of them at the last minute. One of the things that we did a little bit differently is that we didn't have any community voting on the session, and this was kind of a controversial decision. But I think in the end, it worked out very well. It was just a matter of communicating why we were doing this. The reason why we didn't do voting is that we've seen from past experiences that the community voting does not give some very good data about the quality of the sessions or about the attendance that the session would have. And so it's a way to involve the community that gives community members the feeling of being involved, but it doesn't really provide much. So what we did instead is to encourage people to write comments. A lot of people misunderstood that as being, we're going to count comments instead of counting votes. This is not what we meant to do. What we meant was really to have people comment, because a comment is a much more relevant feedback. And it's not only feedback for the track chairs who need to make the decision, but it's also very good feedback for the session, the people who make the session proposals. And I think it's it's great because it gives feedback that can be used by the people making the session proposal to update their session proposal, to incorporate changes. So I'm not sure how this is going to go to be happening in the future, but the experience that we've done by skipping the voting was very good.
Okay, so when you were looking for comments, you weren't necessarily looking for things like, I'd go to that. You were looking more for like questions and comments about the topic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and also one thing that we've noticed is that people saying that they would go to a session, we have that data, and it has absolutely no relation. There's no correlation between that and what sessions people actually go to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the decision about what session to visit really happens on the spot, depending on a lot of parameters, but not really those that that people have marked on their session plan.
Okay. What kind of social events are going on?
The social events, it's been kind of a pretty controversial topic too. And one thing that is good is that there's been a big discussion mainly on Twitter about what people expect from social events at DrupalCon, and this is not about DrupalCon only, but it's really a wider discussion in the tech community that these conferences are just turning into massive parties of binge drinking, which I mean, there's definitely a good amount of alcohol at DrupalCon, but I think that we're still doing okay, but. Well, there's a lot of various parameters that come into this discussion, and also very different cultural point of views. But one thing that we got out of the discussion that was really one crucial point is that what people want the most, no matter if it's in a bar or if it's in a technical environment without any drinks or anything like that, the one thing that people care about is having a quiet place, where they can have conversation without having a sore throat the next day. A lot of speakers will have to give a presentation the next day, so they really cared about that. And I think this is something that that everybody really wanted to address. Another aspect of, of the social event that is specific to Munich is that the budget did not allow for a big party to be thrown. And we know from the past that people don't want the DrupalCon or the Drupal Association to spend a lot on party. So one thing that we're going to do, we're going to go to a beer garden. And this is really, it depends on the weather, and it's open to anyone who just wants to go there. So it's very open, an open event. And just to clarify what a beer garden is, the name is a little bit misleading. A beer garden is a place where there's a lot of tables, where people go to meet with friends or with their family to have a picnic. And you generally bring your own food, and you can have drinks there, or you can also buy food there. So this is a very traditional experience. It's one of the typical Bavarian things that you can do in Munich, but it's a very relaxed environment. It's very open, and we think that it's a great place to have a conversation. And it's exactly the kind of tone that we want to set for the social event for DrupalCon Munich.
That sounds really good. You also mentioned something about special offer for flights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is one thing that is pretty cool about making a Drupal event that gets this big, that airlines are getting interested in participating. We got an offer from Lufthansa, the official German airline, and they're offering some special rates for DrupalCon attendees and for family members traveling with them. There's a page on the website that has all the information. You need to go to a specific link that they provided, and you need to create an account there. But it gives you access to some special rates. It also gives access to regular rates that are available much later, when usually you would only have last-minute offers. So I think this is a nice step, and I think that for all the people who don't have a plane ticket yet, I would definitely consider that.
Cool, yeah, that's awesome that airlines are getting into it. I didn't get any questions from Twitter, although we just put this up this morning, so they only had a couple hours, so that's okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think that if there's any questions from Twitter coming later, we have a great team working on social media. So anything that gets posted to Twitter that is somewhat relevant will be noticed. Any questions, they tend to be answered. If you have some very specific questions, I would just go to the contact page on the website. It goes to the help desk. But I think that we have a really great team that has been doing a great job at just answering questions. So if you have questions, ask them. They will be answered.
Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up. I always ask a couple questions at the end just to hear people's responses. And the first is there something that you are real excited about that's up and coming? And maybe I should throw the caveat in there. Not DrupalCon.
DrupalCon is something that I'm incredibly excited about, but I have to admit that it's been taking a good amount of my time, both within my working hours and outside of my working hours. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to I'm really looking forward to having some of that free time again. What I've invested was really worth it. I look forward to having some time to do other things. One thing that I'm particularly interested in is just doing more stuff with my band. I probably didn't mention this last time, but yeah, have a band called Les Oreilles Bleues. We're pretty new, but we're gonna start getting the first couple shows this fall. So it's something that's totally different, has nothing to do with code, it's also a very exciting project.
Yeah, it's cool. What do you play?
We play some kind of some loud pop rock, and I play guitar and I sing. So it's okay. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Are you guys going to play something at DrupalCon?
We might. It's not planned, but hey, why not?
Cool. Okay, and last, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
I think that there's my Drupal.org profile, of course. The Wunderkraut website, wunderkraut.com. Otherwise, the band website, I'll mention it, www.lesoreillesbleues.eu. And we'll have a link. Don't worry if you didn't get that. just Google me.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, Florian, thanks for coming back on and giving us an update with Munich right around the corner. This is good stuff to know. So. Thanks.
Thank you.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.